up, Rambler fans? This is a celebration. 23-24 Ramblers. Worst to first, baby. A lot to celebrate. Yo, and let's shout out these seniors. Tommy Welch. Dame Adelacoon. Patty Mwamba. Greg Dolan. Philip Alston. And the one and only Braden Norris. Yo, what is up? This is the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where middle-aged guys talk Ramblers hoops from a very different perspective. I'm the host with the jokes, Dobber, from the class of 1994. And he's the analyst with the attention to detail from the class of 1998. You know him as Sammy D! What is up, Sammy D?
What up, Dobber? What is happening?
We're celebrating today.
We're celebrating today, baby. We're celebrating.
What is that drop from? Celebrate.
Come on, we're celebrating, man. I want just a joyous song to celebrate.
I thought I heard something in the background.
You recognize the sample?
What is that?
You don't recognize the sample?
That threw me off there. Well, no, I recognize the song, yeah.
Little Diddy, about Jack and Diane.
About Jack and Diane, yeah. That's an 80s callback.
Yeah, 80s callback.
So good to be here. I am measuring the gain. This time last year, we were like, oh, God, thank God it's over. And now it is not. We had a great year and excited for what the future holds for the Ramblers.
Yeah, I mean,
but glad to break it down with you and discuss all things about the Ramblers.
For sure. I mean, this season, I think, exceeded everyone's expectations. I know we didn't like the way it ended the last two games, but I think if you would have told Rambler fans at the beginning of the year, hey, you're going to get a double bye, you're going to have a share of a championship, you're going to be in it all the way to the end. You know, you're going to play in a postseason tournament, NIT. I think we would have all taken it. We would have easily all taken it with no problem, and we would have been, that's going to be amazing. How's that going to happen?
Right.
And I think, and we talked about this in the last podcast, I mean, all you need to look at is just the series sweeps this year. And we know that every team in the A-10 is capable of beating any other team in the A-10. I mean, this league has a lot of parity, and any given Sunday or any given Friday, however you want to say it. And so the fact that we swept St. Louis, the fact that we swept Davidson, the fact that we swept St. Joe's, we swept George Mason.
Yeah, all four.
I mean, and then, you know, we got Dayton this year. We, you know, it was a possession against Richmond. I mean, I think the only teams
our only loss that was kind of like was the VCU game.
Well, and the Bonaventure road game,
and it still was a 7-point game,
right? So
the Bonaventure, yeah, I'm
sorry. Bonaventure road game, you know, and then of course, you know, we had a couple of our non-con games that could have gone differently, but then again, you know, like we talked a lot about the non-con this year, and if it hurt us, and if we could get in the tournament, and you know, based on us in the A-10 tournament and based on us in the NIT showing, I think we're still growing. Like,
yes,
you know, I think next year it's time to win some games in the A-10 tournament. I think that's the next step for us. Would it be great to go to the NCAAs again? Sure. Get a bid, win the league, get the automatic qualifier. Sure, that'd be great. But I want to see us go to Brooklyn or wherever it's going to be next year, DC.
DC, yeah.
I want to see us go to DC and get a couple of wins. And I want to see us, I want to see us do well in these pressure situations, you know, whether it's a in-season tournament or whether it's the end of the season tournament.
Yeah, and I would like to see from the non-con, you know, some more quality wins that we can hang our hat on at the end of the season. That then it's my desire would be that we're regularly in the discussion for top 25. If we are ranked great, but even, you know, getting votes, that kind of thing, because that tells me that they're, you know, in the top 50 or top 30, which is ideal.
Well, even in that mid-major 25, you know, with FAU at the, FAU was at the top at different points this year, and St. Mary's and some of those other guys, Gonzaga, that's where I would love to show up. We're popping up in that list. Dayton was in that list all year this year. And then what was the other team? Richmond popped into that list. I think we got in at the end of the year to that list, but that's the list that I would love to be on consistently, because I think that that provides a lot of credibility. Yeah, top 25, obviously. Yeah, any mid-major wants to be top 25, but you know, but I definitely think that's the case. So, well, where do you want to start? Do we want to talk about Bradley, or should we just move right on to wrapping up the season?
I think what should be said about the Bradley game was just again, Drew spoke to this on a number of occasions towards the end of the year, but talking about bringing back the pride to Loyola basketball after last season. And I felt like the second half of the Bradley game showed that, where they were down 21 and brought it back to four. I think it was 4 points with like 2 or 3 minutes left. And yes, they did end up losing by 12, but that was kind of, you know, free throw exhibition at the end. In there, but was just really the tenacity of Braden, the overall as the scheme of the team from a defense and obviously, okay, this is what Loyola basketball is about. And we've stopped our video. What happened?
I stopped your video because your audio is kind of coming choppy today.
What the heck?
Yeah, I don't know. Tell them to stop streaming Netflix. You there?
I don't know what.
Okay. Well, you know, you're just a little choppy.
You cannot start your video because the host has stopped it.
No, I stopped your video. Do you hear me? Does he even
hear
me?
You. Yes.
Okay.
Can I hear you? Yes.
Yeah. No, I stopped your video just to make it a little better for the audience, you know? Cause you're kind of blurbling a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what the heck's going on.
Well, it's the end of the season. You know, we had all season. It's kind of like the Ramblers. They had all season to get all the kinks out for the playoffs. It's like you had all season to get the kinks out.
I'm checking my Wi-Fi. It looks all good. I honestly have no idea why it's doing that. So,
well, I don't know when you were going to say this, but I was going to say one thing that I. You know, I know we're going to talk about wish lists for next year and that kind of thing, but I just think we've been in a couple of these games where a guy that we're playing against is just good at drawing fouls and getting to the line. And then when he gets to the line, he makes his shots.
Yeah.
And, you know, this happened again in this game. It happened in the St. Bonnie's game, but it happened with the guy, you know, with Leon's on this team. Got to the line 8 times, made 8 shots.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he was pretty average. He was, 3 for 6.
Yeah.
But when you get 8 points from the line, I mean, that's just great.
Yeah, and then as a team, they shot 20 of 25, and we only shot 10 of 17. So, again, they made 10 more, twice as many free throws as we
attempted. As we made, right. Yeah. So so I'm seeing this all across the A-10 when we play these good A-10 teams. That's one of the big differences is there's a guy on the other team who when they're down can get to the foul line, and or when they're up and they're kind of nursing that 6-point lead, instead of you know, trying to rotate the ball around and do a whole bunch of offensive schemes to get an open look, this guy will just drive in and pull a foul.
Yeah.
You know, with 6 or 7 seconds left on the shot clock. And right now, we do not have that guy. I think Dez probably got to the line as good as any guard we've had in a while. But I wouldn't say that that was in his bag all season long. I mean, if you look at this game, Dez kind of disappeared too. I mean, 2 for 11 and then, 0 for 2. So he only got on the line twice and missed them. So that's not like some of these A-10 guards. So I think that's the one. So if we're putting on the shopping list for next year, that's one thing we got to work on. And then somehow, I don't know if we just need to make Breakfast Club permanent, but we should just be better at shooting free throws. I mean, and again, I love this team. I love the guys on this team.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I loved what they did this year.
No, I think I can live with the 70% from the line, which is, would be ideal if we're taking 27 shots from the line. But when we're only, I mean, and that was the game against Bonaventure, we were 18 to 27. So it's like, okay, but I mean, granted, that I think overall that was, 66%. So we liked a little better. But in the Bradley game, we only attempted 17, and we hit 10 of 17. So it's like in those, I mean, Phil's line in the Bonaventure game, he was 6 of 10. From the line, it's like, okay, he was taking 10 shots. It's like, that's what you would like. If you had a couple guys that are getting to the foul line regularly, you can live with a 60 to 70% free throw shooter. It's just that when we only see 2 or 3, you know, attempts and we're 1 of 3, 2 of 3, then it's like, that's where it's kind of disheartening. Cause it's like, man, we want to get to the foul line more.
Yeah, and one thing I was really curious about with this Bradley game, and maybe the Valley was better this year than I thought, but
top three teams in the Valley were better.
Yes. Right. But I would have thought that us playing in the A-10 all year, I would have thought a couple some of our skill positions, you know, like just in terms of like, you know, our guard play and stuff, I would have thought we would have been just a step faster than this team. Like I would have thought they would have been reaching and fouling us more. I would have thought Miles and Dame would have got to the line more. So it was kind of surprising that actually they looked like they matched us up really well. Like,
right. Their length, I think, in the front court definitely caused problems. And then they had one of those, you know, short, you know, real speed, you know, point guard guys that I've always given the Ramblers trouble in. His name was Duke Dean. But yeah, one of those like just shifty.
Was that the guy that's like 5'8"?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah. It's like, come on. 6 for 14. 18 points total. Because again, he got 4 from the line and had a couple 3-pointers. So yeah, painful. Painful way to end for sure. Well, should we transition?
I think we should
start wrapping up. Where do you want to go first, Sammy D?
How about we enjoy all year long finding out who provides the JB's giant play of the game. So I would love for your take on the giant play of the year.
Well, this is an easy one. The JB giant play of the year I saw in person. Real simple. we're down 2 with 9 seconds to go. We inbound the ball. I think we inbound the ball. Either that or there's a miss. No, there might have been a missed free throw. I think
you're right. I think it was a missed free throw.
Yeah, Dez Watson gets the rebound, runs the ball up, passes to Phil. This is against UMass. And then of course Phil just does like a Wreck-It Ralph under the hoop, putting a shot up, missing, putting a shot up again, missing and getting fouled, but getting a third rebound, putting it back and getting the and one. and to put us up by one, and he makes it. That was, I think, just a little bit of the shot heard round the A-10.
Yeah.
And as we turned out, UMass ended up being a double bye team. So one of the better teams in the A-10, we stole the win essentially from them,
right,
in a real dramatic fashion. And I just feel like after that game, people started talking about us different. People started looking at us different. People also started looking at Gentile as not a place where you go just print a win. Yeah. Like even if you got us at the end, maybe we pull it out, you know. And that's how it was 2 years ago, you know, when Bradley came in and lost to us in, I think, overtime, or they had a 16-point lead and gave it back to us. And then, you know, Valpo went into overtime with us. Both of those wins were just like that UMass win. So I felt like it was like we're back. When it happened, we're back. So that was definitely the JB's giant play of the game. JB's not a official sponsor of the Two Ramblers podcast, but easily could be next year.
Easily could be. And the reason why it's the unofficial sponsor is because we always would partake of JB's after a game when we both lived in the neighborhood. And so, yeah, so that's why it's always a play of the game with JB's.
And of course, the giant is the 2 foot.
Bringing home the giant,
yes. The 2 foot in diameter pizza, Chicago's largest delivered pizza.
Exactly. I totally agree. I could not think of a better play than that one. Because that, you know, what we have grown to love over the last 2 years is Phil being the manimal. And that was, can I get a drop? Maybe. Yes. And that truly was a manimal play because he went in between three different guys, got not only one offensive rebound, but two offensive rebounds, went up, got the foul, the and one, and then completed the and one. So exciting for that. And so I love to transition off the JB's giant play of the year to the Matt the Hammer Hawes player of the year. Nominees are Dame Adelakun, other possible nominees were Dez Watson, Braden Norris, Greg Dolan got a couple nods throughout the year. Sheldon Edwards rounds out the nominees. And your pick for the Matt the Hammer Hawes player of the year.
Well, just to give a little credit to Matt the Hammer Hawes, my favorite Rambler of all time, came off the bench and just had a lot of hustle, a lot of heart. He was a kind of a stocky guy and just a guy you wanted to root for. And if he did get the ball in open space, he could dunk it. Just a lot of times got rebounds and was great under the hoop. And so just when I think about Matt the Hammer Hawes, when I look at this team, I first want to look to bench players who just make us better. And there was no one better this year coming off the bench than Dame Adelakun. And what was so cool about him was he didn't just come in and play some good defense, kind of like, you know, holding the spot for Miles, so to speak. He came in and gave us an offensive weapon that I would love for us to look for in the future. Like, is there a six man who could come in for Miles? Obviously, Miles is going to continue to improve, but he's not going to be able to play 40 minutes just in terms right. of banging and getting tired and stuff. So how great would it be to have another Dame type player come in, give a different look, and just, you know, just when they think, oh, we get Miles out, now we don't have to deal with him, you know, to have another guy fill in like Dame, I think would be great. But just, yeah, him coming off the bench, he was the player of the game for Scott Sudikoff and Christian Thomas's broadcast multiple times, probably three times. You know, everyone started pronouncing his name correctly on our broadcasts. Of course, they still kept confusing him for Pat Mwamba at different points. It's like, what on earth is with the? Anyway, so it was just great. Gosh, I wish he had another year of eligibility, because it'd be fun to see him one more year.
Yeah, it definitely. It was one of those. Yeah, we honestly didn't know what to expect from him. I mean, because although he came with a lot of publicity from Dartmouth, but it's kind of like, okay, I mean, because I think we were all a little gun shy after last season.
Yeah, I think because of Golden,
a big man coming in. Yeah. But I think there was some like, okay, maybe he's like Chris Knight, but he provided a much different player than Chris Knight did a couple years ago. And he provided, it was this, and everyone joked, Chris Sparks was the first one to kind of coin it, but the YMCA, backing him down, rope-a-dope kind of best offensive weapon. And it definitely changed the dynamic of the team when he would come in. And you could see that it just shift, especially in A-10 play, where, the ball went through him. He provided almost kind of like a Krutwig, type offense, point forward. And so that's what a lot of Rambler fans enjoyed many years. And so it was just like a different dynamic. And then I think his play, I felt like, then inspired Miles's play towards the end of the season to be more offensively minded. And so, again, for Heart and Hustle, it's like, here's a guy who's a grad student, one more run, and provided way more than I think anyone ever expected. And so truly, what a great, great honor for him to be the Hammer Haws Player of the Year.
Yeah, for sure. And, it's not taking anything away from Braden. Obviously, Braden, when he was going through senior night, I was like, man, this is one of the greats, one of the Rambler greats. Braden Norris, 20 years from now, when he shows up at Gentile, is going to get a standing ovation because of how many
games, the head coach.
Well, how many games he played. Well, I would love to see Braden's personality a little bit. He seems very intense as a player, and sometimes those guys don't translate well to coaching.
Right.
So we'll have to see. Maybe once he goes to the other side of coaching, maybe he's a little more relaxed. And
that brings up an interesting debate that I've heard, is many people have said, love to see him on the bench next year as the grad assistant. And I as I heard that, I kind of was like, I don't know. Not to discredit Braden. I don't want to do that. But what I love about, Coach Drew is a perfect example of this. He graduated from Oakland and then became a grad assistant at Michigan State and then went back to Oakland as an assistant. I would like to see something like that for Braden or Tom, if they want to go into coaching. I don't even know if they want to do coaching, but where they go off and get different coaching experience and then come back to the Ramblers. Because I would really enjoy, I've always enjoyed, seeing somebody get a richer experience outside of something they've always known, just to kind of better equip them for what, may lay in front of them. So,
well, I know that you have a bias towards people who go to undergrad and then graduate school at the same place.
I don't have a bias.
You have a bias.
The academic world does, and I would stand. I'd stand behind that. In any academic world, people enjoy seeing people get their PhD or masters from different institutions to provide a more rounded education. That's all it is, and I think the same could be true for basketball. That's all I'm saying. I would like to see Braden back on the bench, but I also would like to have him have other experiences outside the Ramblers. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, I think you're right. I think I would like to see him have some different experience. I also think too, a little distance with the guys on the team.
That's another reason too. That strikes me as the, you know, as the former youth pastor, I never allowed graduating seniors to then come back the next year and be, you know, quote unquote, the new leader. It's like, no, you need to go away to college. There needs to be some separation. So same could be said for Braden. Needs to have some separation, pro game, other coaching assistant jobs across, away from Loyola, and then come back when, you know, his boys are, you know, all graduated.
What's the line that Matthew McConaughey says?
I don't know what it is about high school girls. I get older, they stay the same. Yeah, exactly. That's the line.
Yeah, exactly. We need a little distance, right?
Yes, little distance.
All right. I'm just hocking up on the mic here. Okay.
Yes.
Well, so we want to talk, we'll transition a little bit. We're going to talk about future Ramblers stuff in a second. But let's talk about two Ramblers for a second. I know everyone who listens to the two Ramblers is a fan of the Ramblers. We are a podcast?
A fan podcast. A stan podcast? We're a stan? Or fan?
Well, no, we're a fan podcast, but we're complimentary, right? We're complimentary. Yes. No one's going to listen to us if there aren't the Ramblers, right? We're not a standalone. We don't compete with the Ramblers. We compliment. Exactly. But we know that there's some things we do that people like. So we also bring
some levity in, to the Rambler fandom.
Yeah. So we got two things we wanted to share. One was bit of the year and one was song of the year. Which one do you want to do first?
I love the bit of the year because that's what Two Ramblers is all about. I mean, every other podcast is about breaking the game down, all that fun stuff. But we're, you know, we want sights and sounds. We want bits. We want jokes. We want songs. But bit of the year is one to make everyone laugh as they're running down the treadmill as they hear this on Monday.
Well, ironically, the bit of the year is from a unintentional co-collaborator. The bit of the year, and this is just this, guys. You gotta understand.
The nominees for bit of the year.
No, there aren't nominees. There's no nominees. Okay, so let me set up bit of the year. So bit of the year is, I think it was after the big George Mason win.
No, it was after the the Dayton game.
I'm sorry, it was after the Dayton game. It was the Dayton game.
Yes. Because it was Friday night.
Okay, right. So it was after the Dayton game.
Win over a ranked opponent in a long, long time home.
I tune in to the Twitter spaces with Dave from Talking Blurs.
Yes.
And the first thing that catches my ear is he starts swearing at the top of it. And I just thought it was funny. And I was just going to play it as is. And just edit it for our podcast, just kind of as is. But as I was editing it, I just thought it'd be funny to throw a couple extra F-bombs in editing. And so for those of you who don't know, this wasn't, you know, the exact podcast. I embellished just a little bit. But let's go to the bit of the year as picked by Sam Dobschutz. It's Talking Blurs Spaces.
Goes blue.
Let's go. What a f***ing win. I know I don't curse on these things a lot, but let's go. Holy f***, what a f***ing win. We just beat a ranked team. We got a quad one win at home. We just beat a ranked team at home for the first time since 1986. And, like, who else but Braden f***ing Norris breaking the record for most starts as a Rambler, getting it done, going 4-for-4 from deep, hitting those clutch free throws. Just holy shit, guys. Like, my God. What a great win. We just, like, we knew we needed to bounce back after same f***ing Bonaventure, and I don't know how else you do that better than beating f***ing Dayton at home. Right now, we're in the driver's seat for the 2 seed. We got a road trip to Davidson coming up, and then we have to play at home at LaSalle against LaSalle for senior day. We just have to win out, control our own destiny, and then that f***ing 2 seed is ours. What a great job by the guys. I mean, first half, what more can you say about Des fucking Watson just really locking in. Dude was just fucking electric. He also went, electric, like, yeah. had a crazy streak from deep in the first half. Took a little bit of a step back second half, but Braden Norris.
Man, I would have loved to right have that team take that show up to Bradley.
Scoring load yeah. and just what a game. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to dive into some stats too, but man, feel free to request to speak.
I feel like Dave needs a cigarette or something.
What a great fucking win. We had lost so many quad one games earlier. We got a quad one win now. Let's go. Holy.
I can't, it's still going. Oh man, good job, Dave. That was a great podcast.
Yes, the spaces blurs going blue,
blurs nice. After dark, blurs after dark. I think we need to have that. You know, I listened to a couple other ones, and the energy was not at the same level. It's just, you know, it's just
yeah,
more.
It was a Friday night, 11 o'clock Eastern. Fired up just the way the game went out. Exciting game as you were there. Many people were there.
I was not there. Thanks for pointing that out.
But just the energy of that building that night was palpable on TV. And I think, again, bringing back the pride of the fact that, you know, I think next year there'll be a couple games like that on, you know, Friday night. And I think there will be opportunities for more quad one wins at home as our opponents and those in the A-10. I really do see a year ahead of us in the A-10 that could be vastly improved from this year. And so I hope that's true.
I think it's going to be hard to get quad one wins at home, to be honest. But, you know, we would need A-10 teams to be ranked. So
No, they need to be at least in the top 50. And
I don't think so. I think that's still quad two.
No, if they come to our home and they're in their top 50, it's a quad one win.
For them, it would be a quad one for them. It would be a quad two for us.
I'm sorry. You're right. Forgive me.
That's what I'm saying. The reason that Dayton was a quad one win for us is they were top 25.
Right.
I mean, that's what I think it is, you know. Someone can correct us because, you know, I honestly could care less about the net and the Ken Pom, you know. I mean, right. But it seems really important for other people. So, I think that's what it means, you know, so we're probably not going to get a lot of quad ones at home, but maybe we get some more on the road. Maybe we go to one of these, you know, Thanksgiving tournaments and get a couple wins, or, you know, maybe we get a win early in the year in non-con that turns into a quad one win. That can happen sometimes.
I looked it up. Quad one is a home 1-30. So our opponent would need to be in the top 30 for a quad one, neutral 1-50, away 1-75. So I think, yeah, there'll be more opportunities for quad one wins on the road next year, because I think there will be consistently teams in the top 75. Quad two is 30 at home, 31-75, or away 76-135. So I think we'll be living pretty much in quad two next year.
Right. Well, I think this is a great transition to Song of the Year. Speaking yes. of Quad 1 and Quad 2 and all this gobbledygook that actually didn't mean a lot for us at the end of the year. I mean, you know, I think right the way I saw us play in the A-10 tournament and then at Bradley, you know, if we would have got an at-large bid, it probably wouldn't have gone well. But
right.
But regardless, there was so much talk about, you know, whether we were good or not based on this Ken Pom rating, and it made me hit the studio dust off my rapping chops, my rapping alter ego D Real. So let's go to Song of the Year on the Two Ramblers podcast. And of course I don't have it set up now, so I don't know where it went. This is the kind of
we will pause. Profession. Yeah, because that.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
Check the camp bomb. Check the camp bomb. Check the camp bomb. Check the camp bomb. Grab my iPad, fire it up, come along. Gotta check the camp bomb. Scroll down just for a second. Don't get me wrong, it's not a new method. Refresh, depress. We just got a loss at home. I know it's purely predictive, but the 810 Twitter got me thinking it's vindictive. I get it, but I cannot quit it. Yes, it's electric basketball, sabermetrics. A strength of schedule got me apoplectic. Gonna be up all night long. Gotta check the camp palm. 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 It doesn't matter the opponent, cause I'm using 11.5 as the exponent. Gotta win, but I'm still in misery. Why? The poor margin of victory. See, it's not about the games, it's about the calculations. Check the stats and run the equation. The core of the system is Pythagorean, and I still don't like what I'm seeing. The Ramblers in 111 got me wanna take a hit from the bong and check the camp palm.
90s yeah. Callback.
Check the camp palm. Check the camp palm.
Check the camp palm. 11.5 is the exponent. Nice. And then I love the little the drop of the Cypress Hill with the bong sound. That's oh my gosh, that's so good.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. I actually was working on another parody for the end of the year, and then the season ended so quickly, I had to scrap it.
Maybe a summer project.
That was the beat at the beginning of the show. I had a song for, but I just couldn't quite pull it off. So I think we'll save that creative energy for next year.
Exactly. Exactly.
I almost wanted to play too the "I Really Hate the Valley" song that we did in season one, but that one, you know, it was such a bad win that I can't even figure out where that is on my hard drive. That song. So,
well, it is now the off season.
Hey, before we get into off season, let's take just a minute to talk about some of these guys who are leaving.
Yeah.
Couple years from now, what are you going to remember about this team?
I think I'll echo Drew's sentiments. They brought the pride back. They far exceeded expectations, and then they brought back the swagger of, you know, Loyola basketball in the name, and put it back with a good taste in everyone's mouth. I think last season really, I think, turned a lot of people off, and to have the season turn out the way it did, I think was really a testament that, like, this is a season that I think a lot of people didn't expect, or I know they didn't expect. And so it was just one of those seasons where it was like, they brought the name back where it's like, oh, that is a good team. That's not a dumpster fire or a joke. And yeah, I think if anything, it speaks to the fact that moving forward, this is a good team. And I think a testament even to what the recruits coming in. And so just really excited for what lays ahead of us.
Yeah. So I don't know the timing of all the behind the scenes stuff, and probably you could go back and figure out the way things worked out, but, you know, Porter goes to the Sweet 16 where we have that big Illinois game that the win, right? Is that?
Yeah.
And you got to think the move to the A-10 was already in motion at that point. I don't think they had announced it yet, right?
Yeah, there had to have been talks.
I mean,
prior to
at
that,
at least they were I'm sure they were thinking about it.
Right.
Because, you know, by the next season, Porter leaves, they announce they're leaving the Valley. They knew at the beginning of the season they were leaving the Valley because every time we went and played another team in the Valley, they were like, oh, this team's leaving, and they want to punch us in the mouth on the way out the door.
Right.
So my point is, the move to the A-10 was already in the works at the end of Porter's career at Loyola.
Right.
So the idea was we were building something, right? We were taking another step forward. Just like when we stepped from the horizon to the Valley, now we're stepping into the A-10. Ideally, to be in a league that was more competitive, that was going to get us more in the national conversation, potentially a league with more bids, although this year we were a two-bid league only because Dayton lost. If Dayton would have won, it would have been a one-bid league. So, you know, we're kind of back. It's like Valley 2.0 a little bit. But
yeah,
I still think this league has a bigger upside than the Valley and has more prominence for sure.
Yes.
So, but regardless, they were building something. And the challenge with last year was, I think a lot of people started doubting, you know, that we could keep growing, you know, like I think there were people questioning whether Drew was the right guy. I think people were questioning whether we should have gone to the A-10.
Right.
I think there was a lot of people, you know, kind of questioning. And at the same time, we're saying goodbye to these beloved players that are still connected to the heyday. You know, in that first year that Drew took over, you know, we had the super seniors.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, so last year we've got new players from the portal and it's not clear where we're going. And so I think it's not that so much this team brought Loyola back. It's more like this is now we're starting to see, oh, they're building. They're still building, and this gives you an idea of where we could go.
Right.
And we've seen this in other A-10 sports, you know, where Loyola is either improving or winning, that the roadmap for basketball, we just won a championship. So it's like, maybe it was a year faster than we thought or a year or two faster. But it feels like now we can compete in basketball. We're obviously competing well in volleyball and softball. Even women's basketball had a better showing this year. Middle of 7 or 8. So we're making strides in each of our sports, and I think we're fitting in really well with the A-10.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. I think. Well, I mean, this is a men's basketball league, and many people were questioning because we weren't competing in men's basketball, although all the other sports we were. And I think this year definitely showed that, hey, yeah, we can compete and not only compete, but we can succeed. And I think that was huge. And then just to send Tom and Braden off as, yes, want to celebrate all of the seniors and the grads as well. But those two guys were the last of the Porter era players. And so just to, you know, send them off with a ring, so to speak.
Yeah. And specifically those two guys, I think Braden, obviously deserves the, you know, a little more of the credit just because of how much he played, but how great was it that Braden was a all Valley player and then had an off year last year, just like the team struggled, and then was able to, in his last year, compete at the highest level in the A-10 and, you know, make an all A-10 team.
Yeah.
That just shows me, because I remember thinking last year, maybe Braden can't quite run with the A-10. Like maybe he's just a step slower. Maybe he's a valley guard. And to just see him do so well this year was just great. And, you know, maybe it was partly the team improved a little bit, but regardless, it was great to see him go out on top. And likewise, Tom Welch played significant minutes last year and took a different role on this year. And to see him do it with such grace, and, you know, other people were complaining that he wasn't playing as much, but you know, when you saw the growth of, when you saw the output of Dame in terms of his production, and you saw the defensive growth of Miles, what a gift Tom Welch not clamoring for minutes gave this team.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, he could have made a case that I want more minutes, but yet we saw Dame dominate games at different points and Miles grow to a point where he was an all defense player, an all rookie league player. I mean, he had obviously a ton of potential, but how many more minutes did he get because Tom was unselfish and not trying to vie for the three-headed monster?
Right.
I'm not sure. I'm not saying Tom had the choice or control, but because he played with such grace, and, you know, we saw him, I think it was Miles came off the court on one of those road games the last year, maybe Davidson. And, you know, Tom Welch is hugging him saying, you know, you're playing pretty good for a freshman, you know, and, you know, just in the love, the brotherhood of that was just so cool. So, as we look, I think also as we think back to this team, even the last couple years, you know, it's going to be hard to think of this team without thinking about Phil Alston. Just had just such a different way of playing. He was just a matchup problem. And, you know, yeah, there were some games where he kind of disappeared or where he got into foul trouble. Boy, but when he was on, oh my gosh, you could just see other other coaches, you know, Frank Martin aside, pulling their hair out. You know, it was because I just think he just played at a level that was just really difficult to defend. And when he was on, he was on. When he had space, and then even this year in his bag, hitting some more of those threes, can you imagine you're kind of playing well in the paint, and then all of a sudden he drifts out to the three-point line and just makes you pay? It's like, oh my gosh. So if there was one guy I could see one would love one more year from, it would be him. It would be cool to see him come back for one more year. And I know, you know, because of the school he was at, the D2 school, he doesn't have another year of eligibility, even though he didn't play the COVID year at all.
Right.
So because they canceled the season. But I guess from an academic point of view, he did go to school that year. So I don't know how eligibility works, but he does not have an extra year. So this is it.
Right. Which is unfortunate, but yet, you know, kudos to him on his improvement. And another one that when he came, you're like, who is this guy? And all of a sudden just jumps out of the gym and then improved his game this year. It took a different role this year as well. And so,
So we say goodbye to him. Obviously, we have these players that we've just had for a year, Dolan, Mwamba, and Adelakun. And then we're also saying goodbye to Will Smythe, it sounds like, even though I think Will Smythe is like a redshirt sophomore or something.
Yes.
So I'm not quite sure where he's moving to. I guess he's maybe just graduating.
I have no idea. I'm just looking at the roster right now. Yeah, redshirt sophomore. So it's third year in the program, and maybe he's graduating early and going on to grad school somewhere else or something like that.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I don't know a lot about him or his story, so I know that people cheer for him when he comes in, though. So, so we don't know about him, but and then I know we're kind of wrapping up this season, but I was bummed out to see Jaden miss the last two games. And, you know, if I had a question mark going forward for next year, is what can we expect from Jaden? It's a rhetorical question. You don't need to try to answer it, because the answer is no one knows.
Right.
When he's on, he's, you know, the talk of the A-10. I mean, I heard it on.
Yeah, he was A-10 first teamer, as the Three Bid League podcast called him before he got injured.
Yeah, Three Bid League loved talking about him. I think when he's on, when he's healthy, he looks like a guy who belongs in the A-10, both ends of the court.
Yeah.
But when he's injured, when he's out of sync, boy, it's rough. And then I can only imagine what it's like not knowing his status. And I'm thinking, you know, in the Bradley game, maybe they made that decision early because he just wasn't getting the practice or hadn't been able to play. I don't know what happened at the end of the year. Was he sick? Was he hurt?
I heard mono. And so, yeah, mono is a lung thing. So if you don't have your lungs, you can't run and can't run up and on the court. So
yeah, man, stop kissing those co-eds, JD. Let's focus on basketball next year. Anyway, I had mono once. And it's no picnic. I remember sleeping like 16 hours a day. So anyway, if you did have mono, I feel bad. But yeah. So one more guy we'd be remiss. That it's almost a fail on us that we haven't talked about him yet. You know, just a couple days ago, it was announced that that Schweiger, our guy whose jersey adorns my office, is leaving the program, is taking his talents to somewhere else.
Has entered the portal.
Benny Buckets. What do you think about that? What do you think about Benny leaving the program?
It's the new era of college basketball, where you have this opportunity to transfer without penalty, and he's taking advantage of that. And so I think the adage of back in the day of a player coming into a university, the first 2 years probably sitting behind somebody, and then years three and four then beginning to play, is long past us. And to his credit, you know, never heard anything bad out of him, but you kind of got the sense, you know, early on the season that just he wasn't getting the minutes and wasn't gonna get the minutes. And so, I'm not totally surprised. I think Twitterverse, you know, was said the same kind of sentiment, you know, not surprised, you know, kudos to you and, you know, good luck on your next stop. And I think moving forward, I would have liked to have seen his development. I mean, I'm looking at the team picture right now, and he provides a length that, you know, he's taller than Phil. At this point picture, he looks like he's taller than Dame. So it's like, man, he's 6'9" could be, and just like what it would have been like to see him, with a year and then now come into his junior season, what would that look like? But it just, yeah, it's one of those things like I no longer a fit maybe.
I was thinking about this cause I was preparing my answer. I know I'm the host with the jokes, but I was thinking of my own answer, and I just think the portal gives and the portal takes away. And here's the example for some of Ramblers this year who were clamoring for minutes for Ben or wondering why he was on the bench, free Ben, I would challenge you to go, okay, how many of Des Watson's minutes do you want to give him?
Right.
Because what's the difference between last year and this year? Des Watson, our leading scorer.
Yeah.
You know, and he leads us in a number of categories, and it's like he was a huge difference maker for us. And where did he come from? The portal.
Right.
And when we got him, you know, we kind of knew, okay, this guy's probably going to be pretty good. He's probably going to be a starter. And if he's a starter, whose spot is he going to take? He's not going to take Braden's.
Not going to take Phil's.
And you know, when JD's healthy, he's not going to take Jaden's spot. So whose spot is he going to take from last year? You know, and so that's what happened. Des Watson happened to Schweiger. Now, no, and that's why he just didn't get in that many games. You had Des playing most of the time, you know, almost 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, pretty much averaging 30 minutes a game.
Yeah. So, and then when he was coming out, they were using Mwamba in different situations. Dolan was getting in there. And, you know, obviously there were the Schweiger minutes right there. So the portal gives and takes away. And so yeah. I think he's taking advantage of the portal, but he's also realizing, well, the portal did him dirty, so it's time to go get some minutes somewhere. Now, what would be horrible is if he went to Davidson and then just essentially flipped the script on us.
Yes.
Can you imagine if Benny Buckets lit up Davidson and was like their leading scorer next year? I mean, that would be so painful. So hopefully this is what I, Ben, as your unofficial agent, maybe I should do a voice for this. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can do this.
Benny, sweetheart. here's what I need from you. We're going to take you out of the A-10. We don't want to put you in a position where you got to play Loyola again. Also, we're not going to put you at UIC. That's just, that's not what works. We got to put you at like a Northern Iowa. I got Jacob Hudson there. He's been doing great this year. Maybe you could rejoin St. Thomas at North Colorado or T.Y. Hilton out at UC Davis. One of those, that those might be some nice spots for you.
Yeah.
Just no UIC. That's not going to, we're not going to do it. That school is beneath you.
Yeah. I will not be rooting for Ben Schweiger wherever he goes. No offense. I root for Loyola Ramblers. So yes. I might passively kind of go, you know, eyebrow up if he's a player of the game or a player of the week. But if he's, you know, if he's competing and in the A-10 or if he's in the Valley and coming into our gym and, you know, helping secure a win for an opposing team, Marquise Kennedy, I mentioned his name. I'm not scared of him. That Marquise Kennedy, whatever. It's good for him that he got another spot, blah, blah, blah. But UIC, come on. So I'm just not a fan. I'm a Loyola fan, guys. Yeah. And you know, everyone on Twitter loves everybody and blah, blah, blah. I don't love these people. And you know, interestingly enough, there was a lot of chumminess with Bradley before the game, you know, like, you know, Dave did a spaces with Tony Spaghetti. And
once you were on.
Oh, I know. I couldn't help it. I had to go on. And I wasn't very funny either, which is annoying too, because I thought I'd be really funny on there. And I realized it's tough to be funny with these guys. They're all serious all the time. They're not joking around. So I tried to say a couple jokes, and it was like crickets.
Lead balloon.
Yeah. I was saying, hey, when you go to Bradley, try their Jimmy John's. It's really good.
I like that.
I thought it was a funny bit, but no, there was like one of the guys was like, oh, I used to work at that Jimmy John's.
Exactly. That's why that joke's funny.
But anyway, there's a lot of chumminess, right? Yes. But then when the game started, I'm like, I hate this team. What are we being chummy about? And right. Tony Spaghetti was still complaining that that Drew didn't like playing there his first year as a coach. Well, it's like, yeah, a 29-year-old African-American coach, first-year coach, goes down to
Central Illinois
to Bradley, and their fans were not very kind to him. They were talking about Denzel Valentine, but somehow Tony still had his nose out of joint about that. And it was like, come on, who cares? Who cares if our coach doesn't like you? We don't like you. I don't like Bradley fans. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? So we don't have to love everybody, right? We don't have to always get along with everybody. It's okay
it's
to just.
It's got to be onward, LU.
It's got to be.
And let's go.
Yeah, we don't need to be obnoxious. We can be nice.
No, we don't need to be obnoxious.
But we're not buddy buddy. And hey, right. If we lose again, or if we start to struggle again, I don't want to see these turncoat Twitter accounts where they're sort of throwing us under the bus in threads with other A10 Twitter people. You know, oh yeah, drew this, blah blah blah, you know. And I'm not speaking about anyone specific. I'm just saying, nope. If we hit a rough patch in the future, be careful what you tweet in threads with other A10 teams, because they're just waiting for us to turn on ourselves. They're waiting for us to sort of, you know, agree with them that we suck, and we all can't give people the benefit of that.
Hit the music. It's time to go into the portal season and into the summer off season.
Wait, we're done already?
I gotta go.
Oh, this is it? Oh, man.
My window is closed.
Oh, man. I'm kind of bummed out. I was kind of bummed out that there's no more Loyola. I had trouble watching the first games of the tournament because we weren't in it.
You know? Agreed.
This team.
But I am glad we did not. We have not had the Drake where they've, you know, the last two seasons have been abysmal in the tournament. And so
I really thought they were going to get over in this one. I Brody was playing great. I just,
yeah.
By the way, he looks older than my uncle. Brody, my uncle. It's like he's so freaking old, man. He's got a PhD, I heard, in comparative literature studies or something. I don't know what they study at Drake, but anyway. All right, so we're going to hit the music. This is it. The final two Ramblers podcast of the year.
Yes, sadly.
Well, you've been riding with us all season. The only weekly Ramblers podcast.
Number one in the A10.
Yes, with the songs, the bits, the praise for the seniors. Love it.
For the analysts with the attention to detail, Sammy D. I'm the host with the jokes, Dobbers. And thanks for listening this year. And it's all in fun, guys. Don't take it too seriously. We'll be here next season. Sammy D signed me to another year of this, and looking forward to being together with you guys again.
Yes.
Until then, go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers!